okay, so how did Oswald the Rabbit find his way back into the Disney universe and into, you know, the first Epic Mickey and now the second?
Well, Walt Disney lost the rights to the character in 1928.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't until 2006 that Disney got the rights back. But it really started about 2 years before that, when a bunch of interns, college interns, who were, you know, spending 6 months working for Disney, came up with the idea to bring Oswald back in a video game. And so that was 2004. 2005, I had my first conversations with Disney. I was pitching them a science fiction game and a fantasy game that they were interested in. And then they said, hey, we don't want that stuff, but I didn't know about working on a Mickey Mouse game and bringing Oswald the Lucky Rabbit back. And as a Disney fan and an animation geek, I was in. So it was really, it started, you know, Disney came up with the idea. A bunch of college students came up with the idea, and I was just lucky enough to be the right guy in the right place at the right time.
I mean, this project is kind of like, it's not out of the blue for you, but considering, you know, all the other cool stuff that you've done that's kind of different, the Ultima series, Deus Ex, I mean, did you expect, like, your hardcore fan base to go, Spectre's doing this? What?
I, frankly, expected the response to be a lot more vocal than it was. Sure, there are a lot of people who I think were surprised and maybe some who are disappointed, but the reality is, you know, the people who knew me really well, my family and my longtime friends, they understood that for me, making a cartoon-oriented game was kind of a return to my roots. I mean, you know, I wrote my master's thesis on cartoons. The first thing I did in the game business many, many, many years ago, 1984, was a game called Toon, a cartoon role-playing game. I worked on a Bullwinkle and Rocky role-playing game for TSR. Somehow I got the reputation for being the super serious, you know, cyberpunk guy in the electronic game world. But really, this was just a great change of pace for me and an opportunity to get back to doing some later, funnier stuff that I'd had the chance to do before in the electronic game world.
The first Epic Mickey caught a lot of people by surprise because, I mean, not since the days of, you know, the Super Nintendo and Sega Genesis has there been, like, that really deep, fun adventure experience, like, intended for even older gamers from the Disney world. I mean, how did it feel to be a part of that, the resurgence of the series?
It felt incredible. I mean, I've got to tell you. I mean, think about what it says about Disney, that they thought it was appropriate to reintroduce Mickey as the hero of the story in a video game. Think what it says about Disney, that they thought the right place to bring Oswald back to the world was a video game. And now with Disney Epic Mickey 2, I mean, think what it says about Disney, and about games, really. I mean, about where we are as a media, that you know, Oswald gets a voice for the first time ever in a Disney story in a video game. I mean, To be that guy they asked to do that is incredible. I know there are a lot of people who think this is kind of weird that I'm doing it. I understand that. But put yourself in my shoes. The biggest media company in the world said, hey, we want to give you the most recognizable icon on planet Earth. Are you interested? And we said no. I mean, I'm a guy, like, every game I've worked on has been about, you know, choice and consequence, about empowering players to tell their own story. And with Mickey as my star, I just really thought I could reach a whole new audience with that. You know, gamers get it. Gamers get the idea that games are about them being clever and creative, right? I mean, Deus Ex and Knights of the Old Republic and Mass Effect and Fable and Grand Theft Auto and, I mean, Dishonored now, Bioshock, I mean, there are all sorts of games that are about the kinds of things that I think games should be about. And the opportunity to reach beyond the gaming audience by using Mickey as my lever, I thought I could move the world. And so it felt incredible. There's no other way to put it. I was honored and felt an incredible sense of responsibility and just basically felt great. Still feel great.
How do you think your experiences on those other more serious franchises have impacted the Epic Mickey series?
Even if no one else in the world sees it, I've been making games for 30 years, and every single game I've worked on, without exception, has been, for me, a steady progression on a single path. Every time I make a game, whatever the content, I don't care if it's about a guy who swings a big sword while he's wearing plate armor, or a guy who wears sunglasses at night and a trench coat in the middle of summer and fires big guns. I don't care what the game's about. I don't care if it's about a cartoon mouse and a rabbit. Really, what every one of those games is about is letting players tell their own story through their play choices, through the choices they make as they play. And the Epic Mickey games are no different. To me, they are just like Deus Ex. They're just like the ultimate games I've worked on. Except for the kinds of choices you're making are different, obviously. And the tone is different. But the underlying philosophy, and I, as pretentious as that sounds, I don't care. there is a thing I think is important about games, and that is every player has a unique experience because they play the game differently. And Disney Epic Mickey is as much about that as Deus Ex ever was. If gamers would just see that, I think they'd really find stuff they find familiar and they really enjoy.
How did it feel from going from the first game as having Oswald as this huge character in the wasteland to actually having the gamer control him in the second? How much of an experience was that?
Huge experience. And, the thing is, before we started working on the first game, I kind of had an idea of what the high-level story was going to be if we got to do a second game, and I had an idea of what gameplay features we were going to introduce in the second game. So even as far back as 2006, 2007, I knew that if we got to do a Disney Epic Mickey 2, it was going to feature Oswald as a playable character. And if we get to do a third one, I already kind of know what that's going to be about, too. But, it was quite a challenge. And the kind of geeky truth of the matter is I've kind of spent the last 34 years trying to recreate the experience, the feeling I had when I played Dungeons & Dragons for the first time, and realized how powerful it was for me and my close friends to tell our story together. It wasn't that we were listening to a story someone else told us. We were telling our own story as we went along. And so I've always played single-player games up until now, and I just decided it was time to try a two-player co-op game. First time I've made a multiplayer game, and I hope the first step on a long road. Now it's not just about you telling your unique story. It's you and friends negotiating to tell your story together. It's all about recreating Dungeons & Dragons. How pathetic is that?
Do you think this franchise, this series, ever gets created if it wasn't for those college interns that wanted to bring Oswald back?
I have no idea. I suppose it might have happened. I mean, Disney's been really good historically about creating things, obviously, and then knowing when to give them a rest. I mean, there's the whole mythology of the Disney vault, It's like, why is Snow White now? Because it's going back in the vault in 2 months. it goes away and you can't get it for, 7 years or something. And I think that's one of the reasons why people still care about the Disney properties. And so this was way before my time, so I have no idea what really happened, but at some point, probably someone said, hey, it's time to give Mickey a rest, the way we rest all of our properties. And it might be that at some point, someone would have said, hey, it's time to get Mickey back and put him in a game or put him on TV or whatever, without that intern group. But I'm just grateful that intern group exists. I mean, thank God for the think tank,
Mm-hmm.
Those guys came up with a really brilliant idea, and that core concept is still the foundation of Disney Epic Mickey games today.
For the people that picked up the first game and enjoyed it, why do you think they should pick up the second? What's the big incentive for them?
Well, if you enjoyed the first game, in a sense, the sequel is more of the same. I mean, we don't want to completely change the experience. So if you like the way the first one felt, and you like the experience you had, it's a whole new story. You can revisit some places you've been and visit with some characters you got to know, but they're all changed. There's an entirely new story, new land to explore. You know, the introduction of songs, which I think is a very Disney thing, is a nice little added twist. And of course, the opportunity to play with friends. I mean, one of our big goals for the first game was to make, you know, what we call, here's the air quotes here, you know, a game for everyone. if you look at the response the first game got, I think we pretty much nailed that, you know. I mean, there was some core gamers who just, you know, couldn't get down with it. I get that, that's fine. But we really did make a game that appealed to a very, very broad audience of boys and girls, men and women, you know, all ages, both genders, right? And then how smart is this? We said, okay, everybody can enjoy this game, but we're not going to let you play together. With Disney Epic Mickey 2, we're actually going to let you play together. So now what I want to see is older brothers playing with younger sisters, parents playing with their kids, you know, adults playing together. The two-player aspect of it, I think, is really interesting and really changes things. Negotiating a story with a friend is radically different from, you know, telling your own story by choosing how you want to overcome challenges by yourself.
You briefly mentioned before how music will play a role in the gameplay. Can we get a little bit more in depth? What exactly is the role that music is going to have in this game?
Well, let me be clear. You know, there's when you tell most game publishers you want to make a musical, they look at you like you're crazy. when you do the same thing to Disney, the first response is, "Oh yeah, of course." I mean, because every Disney film, every classic Disney film, tells its story through song. Characters express their emotions through song. You know, from When You Wish Upon a Star to the cleaning song in Enchanted. You know, songs are just a part of Disney. But then people start thinking, hey, wait a minute. Are gamers going to get this? And there really is a fear, maybe justified, maybe not, I don't know, but there's a fear that gamers won't buy a game because there are songs in it. Well, I think that's nonsense. I don't think people should be concerned about it. But in Disney Epic Mickey 2, the songs are presented in a very traditional way. They're just in the cinematics. You can skip past them if you don't like it. I have a lot of ideas about how to make songs an actual part of the game mechanics, you know, making them a part of the interactive experience. But in Disney Epic Mickey 2, they're just part of the linear storytelling experience. So nobody should be scared. It's okay. Everybody chill out. So you'll get to know some of the characters a little better through the song. They will advance the plot for sure, but they're not actually interactive. In the future, I hope that changes, but we'll see.
Yeah. How is the game utilizing the features of the Wii U and the PlayStation Move?
The PlayStation Move is pretty straightforward. You know, the PS3 with a Move offers you the kind of you know, gestural control, I call it. You can, you know, gesture and do stuff. And precision aiming. It's similar in that way to the Wii remote and the NunChuck, right? So you combine gestures and high depth graphics. So that's the big advantage of the Move. The Wii U is interesting because it offers completely different opportunities for gameplay. Let me be clear about that too. Nintendo got, the dev kit out pretty late, and with all the tools came online pretty close to launch. And so it's a good first stab, I think. And there are two things that we do. One, the fairly trivial one, is you can access these sketches. One of our secondary instances is all sketches for fairies and, you know, watches and anvils and TVs into the world. You can do that from the bottom screen, from the second screen. But the important one is there's a real-time map on the second screen. So as you move Mickey through the 3D world on your television, on your main screen, you've got a constantly updating map on the bottom where you know exactly where Mickey is in the world. And you can you know, touch various points on the map and find out where the exits are. Find out where the quest goals are. You know, find out where optional things are. Find out where stores are. You can, so there's some really, really solid, important player direction on the game path in the Wii U version, which had a surprisingly significant impact on play. Player direction is a much easier thing on the Wii U, I think, than on any other platform. It just shows the potential that we barely scratched the surface of on the Wii U on a multi-screen game.
Okay, is there anything else that you want to say about the project?
I guess the only other thing I would say is, I'm confident we're going to hit sort of the sort of mainstream non-gamer audience. We found that on the first game. I mean, like, Disney fans, and there are lots of them. And non-gamers and kids and stuff really, really love the first game. And I think that'll be true on the second one as well. Gamers, I think, have a tendency to go, oh, if it doesn't involve a space marine or, a dark, edgy, real world something, there wasn't quite a good of a chance. And what I would say is, in the same way that a steady diet of red meat is going to kill you, and a steady diet of raw vegetables is equally bad for you, a change of pace is okay. What I really want is for gamers to just say, okay, I'll give you a weekend. I'll give Mickey Mouse a weekend. I'm not expecting people to give up their Call of Duty or their Grand Theft Auto or their Dishonored or whatever, in favor of being Mickey Mouse full time. But a change of pace is good for everybody, and I'm hoping gamers can do that. But we'll see. If not, I still got the Disney fan, so I'm good.